When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brock Purdy has thrown 7 interceptions in the last 2 practices. My dad and I will discuss why he tends to do this in practice, but not games, next on the Cone Zone. Good evening. Welcome to a late version of the Cone Zone. That's the great Lowell Cone. I'm Grant Cone. The 49ers just wrapped up the second padded practice of the offseason. And for the second day in a row, Purdy threw a lot of picks. We've seen him do it before. It didn't really translate to the regular season last year. So why don't we start with the news of the day? Brock, this is a pattern with him. He throws lots of interceptions every once in a while in camp. First of all, are you concerned about it?
Well, how many did he throw today?
4.
Were they all his fault?
3 of them were.
Okay. No, I'm not concerned about it. He's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
He may have been working on some things that we don't know about. Also, he didn't have Trent Williams, which in real life makes a big difference, and he will have him in the regular season. It's not like he's not going to have him. So, no, I'm not worried about it, but I wonder, why does he do it?
Yeah. I think it's an interesting question. Why is this the thing in practice and not games? Also, don't forget that Ayuk's not out there. He'll have Ayuk eventually as well. So I think there's a few things. One, like you said, he's probably more aggressive in practice. He's probably trying things, seeing who he can trust and what he can get away with. That's all part of it. Also, the Niners defense is really good. It's a really freaking good defense. And when Purdy has gone against the best defenses in the league, this entire offense, when they've gone against the best defense in the league, they've struggled. So that's another thing. But also, I feel like we've seen this with in practice, he often doesn't have all of his supporting cast around him. One or two guys will be holding out, or maybe one guy has the day off. So it's like half of the crew. And that's not nearly as big of an advantage as he normally has. During the regular season, when he has all those players, plus a game plan from Kyle Shanahan, he's in a good spot. They're not game planning right now. They're just installing stuff. So his job during the season is find the guy who's open and deliver accurately and on time. On this team, someone's always going to be open, almost always, with all 5 of those guys. All 5 eligible receivers are really good. So Brock's perfect for this team. But once you start taking guys away, we don't really know what he looks like. We haven't seen very much of it. And I think that's the question for next year. Is he worth $60 million? Well, if you pay him that, then you have to take some of these players away. And how does he perform if he only has 4 all pros around him as opposed to 6? And I think that's something you see a little bit more in practice. Guys get the day off. Yeah. He's working with half a team, and it's going against good defense.
I have a relevant question. Do you think Kyle Shanahan frets when he throws 4 picks in a practice?
Hell yes. He's the coach. It's his job to think about what could go wrong. And yes, I think he does fret. I think he thinks, boy, this guy has some bad football in him. It's going to take, I'm going to have to be at my best to make sure this doesn't happen at a crucial moment, like it did against the Ravens last year when he threw 5 picks.
Okay. I actually feel the other way. I feel it's a guy he's brought up. He's experienced with him. He knows what his pattern is. He's seen him under fire in real games. And I don't think he sweats it that much. Now, again, I've never met Kyle. I have no feel for how he actually feels about his players and what he feels about these practices. But my guess is, and it's only a guess, that he's probably more concerned with a lot of other things.
I would think he's concerned with a lot of other things as well. And how much they have to pay Brock Purdy isn't a concern this year, because when everyone's back and Brock Purdy's there, he is the perfect quarterback for this team. He's cheap, yeah, and he can get the ball to the open guy. But once he's not cheap and there are fewer guys who are open all the time, can he comp? We just saw Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl with some pretty subpar weapons. The best quarterbacks are supposed to be able to overcome that and make players better. And I'm not saying Brock can't do that, but we haven't really seen him have to do that. We've never seen him play a game without Christian McCaffrey.
But Iggy, he won't really have to do that this season. We don't need to project ahead a season past this one. I think he's a very good quarterback for the 49ers this season. I think he's one of the strengths of the team.
No question.
And not just because he's a system quarterback, because he's a good quarterback.
He is a good quarterback. But what I want to see this year is what we saw last year. There was three games in a row where Trent Williams was hurt and Debo was hurt. And Brock only had Juszczyk and Ayuk and Kittle and McCaffrey and Jennings. And he lost three games in a row and didn't play that well. Does that happen this year? If he loses Kittle and Debo for 3 weeks, what happens? And he only has four other ones. I think that's something to watch for with Brock, because we know he's good, but we also don't know how much this particular supporting cast boosts him, because it's the best one in football.
I totally agree. I do think the main one is Trent Williams.
Agree.
The main issue is Trent Williams. The other guys, of course, are important, but the left tackle is the most important.
Agree.
For Purdy.
Agree. I also feel that the fact that they always have five good eligible receivers on the field at a time means you kind of have to play them straight up. You can't really double one guy. You can't say, we're not going to let this guy beat you, because that guy will beat you. If you don't want to let Ayuk beat you, McCaffrey will beat you. So you kind of have to either just have a great defense or just lose. You have to play straight up. You can't load the box or double the receivers. That puts the quarterback in a good position. But we'll see what he does. He's a very aggressive quarterback. He's not a game manager.
I agree.
He's not like Alex Smith, who has to see it and then he throws it. He'll throw it with trust and faith, which is what you call anticipation.
I also think that he's better against zone than man coverage.
Yep. Agree.
Because although he's an accurate thrower, against man coverage, the where you can put it is reduced.
Yeah.
It really has. You have to be Joe Montana. You have to be able to put it between the numbers or wherever. And I'm not sure he's as good against that kind of coverage. But, you know, it's hard to do man coverage. And if a crummy team does it, he would take them apart.
Right. It's hard to do man coverage, especially against the Niners, because you have to have two or three good cornerbacks, plus a linebacker or two who can cover McCaffrey, plus a safety who can cover Kittle. And if you have one bad matchup, then Purdy can punish that one. But when they faced the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs had a better defense than the Niners. They could match up man-to-man. And all of a sudden, Purdy was in a tough spot because he had terrible pass protection. He didn't have much time to throw, and his receivers weren't getting open quickly. And what's he supposed to do?
Right. It was more a question of what the Chiefs were showing him and the limitations of Kyle's game plan than Purdy. I thought he played better than many of the stars on that team that day, including Trent Williams, McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. I think he played better than all of them.
Yes. Yes. He absolutely did. He really did. I still feel that if you put a lot of quarterbacks on this team, gave them $1 million and said, play with all these all pros, they'd look good and they'd win a lot of games. And we need to see if Brock Purdy can be more than that. We know he's not a system quarterback or a game manager, but he has by far the best supporting cast in football. And in practice, he doesn't. And it's a different result. That's what I'm saying.
You know, it would be if they ever, I'm sorry, I got a little cough. If they ever bring him to the podium, it would be interesting to ask him, why do you think you throw these picks in practice, but not in the regular season?
Yeah.
Have you wondered about it? I mean, he would answer that question.
Yeah. You got to give the Niners defense. I'd love to know what he has to say. I would have to imagine you have to give the Niners defense credit. It's a hell of a defense.
It's the best defense he's going to face.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a big part of it right there. But I'd love to hear what he has to say, because he's the kind of person who wouldn't bristle at the question like Kyle would, but he wouldn't.
You know, Kyle's a bristler.
He's a bristler, classic bristler.
He's a bristler, but Brock is not a bristler.
No, he's an anti-bristler.
He's anti-bristler.
Frank Tomos has been a member for 16 months. Thanks, Frank. The Jedi says, does paying Purdy matter if the GM is consistently nailing first, second, third, et cetera, draft picks? That would make it, you have to do that. If you pay that much money to one player, you got to be really good at drafting. That's a good point. Okay.
Iggy.
Yes. Yes.
They're never going to pay Brock Purdy $55 or $60 million. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now.
Okay. How's it going to play out?
He'll accept less.
They'll offer him 45, 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll accept less. He'll say because he loves the 49ers family. But, of course, that's ridiculous. It's that I think he knows that his success is tied to Kyle and to what Kyle does. And he's not going to want to wander.
As opposed to, say, Brandon Ayuk, who's made it his mission this offseason to say that his success isn't tied to Kyle Shanahan and Kyle's holding him back and he could do better if he had more targets and yada, yada, yada. Brock's not going to do that.
I don't think Kyle is holding him back. I think Kyle's treatment of the offensive line is holding Brock back. Yeah. But I don't think Kyle is holding him back.
That sounds extremely reasonable. I wouldn't be surprised if you're right. They offer him 45. He accepts it. And he's seen, again, as the most generous, humble, down-to-earth person of all time.
And he's getting $45 million.
I know. And he's seen as, like, generous and
he's getting $45
million. He's giving something back to the community. All right.
$45 million is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. If he saves it, he might be able to do something with that after he retires. So the big story today was Brock Purdy throwing a lot of picks, but almost as big of a story today was Tanner Mordecai throwing two passes. His first two passes of training camp. This is the undrafted free agent quarterback, and he's built a little bit like Brock Purdy. They kind of have the same size and stature, but he throws hard. He's got a strong arm. He's a good athlete. His first throw of the day was a play-action bootleg to his left, which is not an easy throw to make, and he hit Juwan Jennings in stride. And then his next throw was right stationary in the pocket, 15-yard bullet over the middle that Ricky Pearsall dropped. It was a nice throw. And I came away thinking, boy, the Niners could really use a backup quarterback like him. I think it's time to see a little bit more of Tanner, Mr. Mordecai. Would you like to see that?
Very much so. And in fact, people could say, why are they talking about Tanner Mordecai? You know, he's number four on the depth chart. He was undrafted. A few years ago, no one was talking about Brock Purdy, and he almost was undrafted. So on the Niners, the way they do things, this guy could be very important. I don't think this season he'll probably go to the practice squad, Iggy, but within a year, he could be the number two quarterback on this team. And he's so similar to Brock Purdy, they wouldn't have to change anything when he comes in.
Absolutely. And he's not a retread, someone who started games and failed. Like, this is a guy who has talent and might actually be something like Brock. And it seems like the same people use the same rubric and whatever you want to call it that they've used to find Brock. They used it to find Tanner. So let's see what he's got.
I love it. Iggy, why was he undrafted?
I think he played 5 years in college. He's a little bit, I think he's older than Brock Purdy. He played for three different schools. He didn't have the most consistent career, but I think the idea is on the Niners, if you surround him with all pros at every position and ask him to just sort of keep it simple and find the open guy and make the routine throw. Maybe he could do that too. Maybe a guy like him, like Brock, who's played so much college football, can execute an offense that has a ton of talent, as opposed to Trey Lance, who's like, even if you gave him all pros all over the field, it's like, he's still learning on his own. He has his own process. That's not going to be Tanner's issue. He's never played with talent like this. I'm sure the NFL football feels easier for Brock than college football did because of the team he's on. And that could be the same situation with Tanner.
What is Tanner's arm like?
It's live. He's got some mustard on those throws, Dad. He's got some zip, as opposed to Brock, who throws throws with touch. It's very feathery and pillowy, which is nice, catchable. I haven't seen Tanner throw that much, but he's got a real strong arm. And I think he ran a 4.5 40-yard dash, so he seems like a good athlete.
Iggy, have you ever heard him talk?
Not one time.
Not nine times?
Not nine times.
Now, that's a quiz. People need to know where that comes from.
They need to know. Do you think people would know? That's a 1986 movie.
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
Maybe not. You got a young group.
Yeah. It's a lot of people in their 30s and 40s. They should know. Okay, that's enough of Tanner. Tanner, play more. Okay, we'll keep him going. Two surprises in camp. You haven't been there. But people want to know an unheralded person. Someone who does not have herald. Who all of a sudden starts playing really well. Then they get the herald.
Who got the herald today?
Okay.
Or these days?
Amador Lenore. He's a good player, but I think he's becoming one of the best players on the team. Like, they did one-on-one drills today, which is just one cornerback covering one wide receiver. And it's heavily skewed in favor of the wide receiver. There's no safety. There's no pass rush. He can run his route as long as he wants. Hard to lose that one if you're a wide receiver. Amador Lenore went against Debo twice today, intercepted one pass and knocked away another. He's really, really good. And then he intercepted Brock Purdy in 11-on-11s and broke up another pass that he almost intercepted. He was freaking everywhere. So I didn't expect that. That's pretty surprising.
Is he elite?
I never would have considered him elite. He went from being like a fifth-round pick you didn't think of to a guy who started because he had to and was a bit of a liability to a guy who can play outside and inside and is pretty solid. One of the better number two corners in the league to a guy who looks like he's a number one corner now.
Wow.
He could be elite. I think he's 24 years old.
Have you ever heard him talk?
He talked today. He's really smart.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
He was asked about Brandon Staley. What do you think of Brandon? And I noticed that during practice, Nick Sorensen is away from the players calling plays next to Kyle. Staley's with the players on the sideline. And he has like a long running dialogue with Lenore whenever Lenore's not on the field. Like, they're like talking through every play. And today he was like, Brandon Staley's a genius. He's like having Kyle Shanahan on for defense. So I get the feeling that Lenore feels that learning from Staley can take his game to another. He's a good player, but now he's going to be a smart player who's going to be one step ahead of the competition. And today he was. So it was interesting for him to explain how he really likes this new coach.
Iggy, Sorensen better watch his tush.
Yeah. Because you know what Staley's doing, right? It's like, okay, let me just ingratiate myself player, like one player at a time. So when Sorensen inevitably gets thrown under the bus, all the players will be like, we like Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we already got Lenore on his team.
Okay.
Okay. That's one.
Who's another one that's outstanding?
Another one. This is interesting, and it really showed today. So we're on Pearsall watch. He is the first round pick. He had a hamstring injury. He played today. They didn't put him in. I'm going to give my first impression of Pearsall in a minute, but he didn't do much today. As opposed to Terrell Owens' kid, Tariq Owens, who is an undrafted free agent. He went to Bishop O'Dowd High School. He didn't even start playing football until he was a senior in high school. He had a deep touchdown catch in one-on-ones. He beat Ambry Thomas, who's been on the team for 3 years, 4 years. And then in team drills, 11 on 11s, he did it again. He ran by Rock Ya-Sin, who's been in the league like 6 or 7 years. Another deep touchdown catch up the left side. It's like, wow. Ricky Pearsall didn't do anything like that. So good for Terrell Owens, kid. And I've also seen him go over the middle. He has like no fear. I'm not saying he's Terrell Owens, but you could tell he's his kid.
Tariq. He went to Bishop O'Dowd.
He went to Bishop O'Dowd. I guess his mom lives around here.
See, I don't know anything about Terrell Owens' personal life. After a while, Iggy, I tried to just stay away from Terrell Owens. I thought it wasn't going to lead to good things.
I know is that they had Tariq Owens talk after the local pro day, and he was like, nothing like his dad. Nothing like his dad. That's all I'd say.
Well, God love him.
Yeah.
A Bishop O'Dowd, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to report that he's a big surprise. He's actually good. I thought they were like doing him a favor, bringing him to the local. Who's at the local pro day? Like, hey, you went to high school around here. Why don't you come around and take a picture with the coaches? Like, no, he made the team and he's going to make the practice squad and he just might make the team one day. I mean, he's done a lot more than Danny Gray, who's been on the team 3 years, or Ronnie Bell.
Well, so, I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I didn't expect you to say him.
Yeah.
Does Terrell Davis, Terrell Owens come to the practices?
Not that I've seen. He was at the local pro day. Jerry Rice was there today. No idea why. He's wearing a hat said goat on it.
Yeah. I believe Jerry likes to still be in the spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably what made him great. Part, you know, I believe Jerry has a big ego. And this is not a criticism, by the way. Greatest football player who ever lived, maybe. You need to have a big ego to do that. And sure. I don't think you'll lose the ego, Iggy. He likes to be in the spotlight.
Two more surprises. I want to keep going because this is a good topic for people who are like want to get inside training camp.
Yeah.
Cam Latu, the tight end that I ridiculed last year. He was a rookie. He dropped a bunch of passes. He got hurt. He didn't make the team. I wrote him off. He hasn't dropped a pass yet. He caught a pass today. He caught a pass yesterday. He didn't play tight end until like his last year at Alabama. He was a linebacker first. So he's a bit of a project, but he's huge. He looks like an incredible athlete. He looks like if you could get the ball in his hands in a real game, he'd be really tough to tackle. He'd be good after the catch. And it looks like he'd probably be a good blocker too. So it looks like the rare project that might actually work out. He's looking promising, and I didn't expect it. He can catch the ball, and he's a hell of an athlete.
Great. Can he block?
And it's hard to tell in these practices, but he looks like he should be able to block. He's a big, strong guy. And then the last guy is, maybe this shouldn't be a surprise, but the Niners always have an undrafted running back who's good. And this year, it's Cody Schrader. He's a little guy. He was at Missouri. He was one of the leading rushers in college football last year. The Niners drafted Isaac Garendo, who ran fast at the combine. He's hurt. And Cody Schrader's been in every practice. And he's really consistently good, very decisive, finds the hole, gets downhill. No nonsense. None of that east-west bullshit, Dad. Not for Cody. North-south. Good player. So those are the four.
Do you think Cody will make the team?
He just might. If he has a good preseason and the Niners try to get cute and wave him and put him on the practice squad, another team could pick him up. So we'll see what they do. It's looking like Garendo might have to spend his rookie year on IR. And if that's the case, they could give Schrader a spot.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's do some sleepers and then we'll get back to the show.
Sleepers.
So the Giants made some moves today. They got rid of Solaire, which is too bad because I've really enjoyed making picks on him striking out.
He was a strikeout machine.
Yeah, you could count on him to strike out. And that was a gimme. So we'll do what we can. We got Robbie Ray tonight on the bump. 32. 6.5 Ks. Earned runs, 1.5. What do you think, Dad? You want to go with Ks? You want to go with earned runs?
Hold on. They're playing the Oakland A's,
ooh,
which is a borderline minor league team, right?
True.
So we got to factor that in.
That's a factor.
So tell me what the categories are again.
Strikeouts. 6.5 in his Giants debut. He threw 8 Ks. He had 8 Ks. Or earned runs, 1.5. That's pretty low.
Okay, I'm saying over 1.5.
I like that. That's just smart. We don't know Robbie Ray. Why are we hitching ourselves to his bandwagon, huh? Not doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Who else we got? Okay. Ramos. Let's see what the strikeouts are at. Ooh, he's been striking out, Dad.
They've been getting him with high heat.
With the cheese.
Yes, with the cheese.
The cheese.
Yeah.
All right, we're going more on that one. That's just a savvy pick right there.
Well, you didn't say how many. How many strikeouts?
It just has to be more than a half a strikeout. So will he strike out? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Chapman. Let's see. Hits. He had three. He had 6 hits in the last 2 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Strikeouts. He'll strike out.
Yeah, he will strike out.
All right, let's go. Let's just pick all these people to strike out.
Okay, wait. How many are there? You didn't tell me.
0.5. Will he strike out?
He'll strike out more than that.
Okay, good. We're on the same page with that one. And now he's like, tell me.
Chapman, he's a great fielder, and I get the feeling he's a good teammate, but he's really an overrated hitter, Iggy. He's a 240 hitter, and he strikes out a lot.
Yeah, but he can really field.
He can. I love watching him field. I don't love watching him hit.
And no, it's nice to have some hitting at third base.
Yeah. Could we talk about batting averages in baseball?
Could we? Let's do that.
I mean, people say, oh, it's the on-base percentage. It's the slugging. It's the OPS. You got to hit more than 240. I mean, come on. It's the major leagues.
I know. And they try to rebrand the 240. They try to sell it it's a solid 240. There's no such thing as a solid 240. Okay, last sleeper pick. Shohei Ohtani. Hits.
Who are they playing?
Who cares?
Okay, fine.
He's playing the Dodgers.
He's on the Dodgers.
I mean, he's playing the Padres.
They're going to lend them to the Padres for tonight?
All right. Okay. Shohei Ohtani against the Padres. 1.5 hits, more or less.
Did he got home runs?
Home runs. Yeah. Will he hit one?
Yes.
He's due.
Yes.
All right. Let's make the picks. Let's lock it in.
He's great. He's great.
He's a hell of a player. Flexing it. $10, big money. Submit the entry. Let's see if I've won any recently, because I've been winning. No, I didn't win that one. But this one, we're going to win, Dad. I'm feeling pretty good about it. And if you guys want to make some picks, use the promo code CONE, COHN, and get a deposit match up to $100. All right, that's enough of the dollars. Let's talk Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall. It's not his fault that he's been underwhelming so far. He's been hurt, but I'm kind of surprised. They're going very slow with him. He comes back yesterday and he doesn't do any of the team drills. He just warms up and then watches. Today, there's one-on-one drills, which are pretty intense. He doesn't do any of those. He just watches. Then when the team drills come, he runs some routes and gets a couple of targets and he drops one pass and catches one. I'm sure they'll get him going sooner or later, but what are you waiting for, man? You can't do one-on-one drills.
He may not be 100%. I think
100%.
I don't think he's 100%.
98.6.
I'm saying 81.5.
81.5. All right. Well, if we're talking more or less 81.5, then he shouldn't be in the one-on-ones.
That's right. Yeah. So I think they're being cautious with him because they really have a lot invested in him. I my guess, he's a good player, not a great player. Not like that kid with the Rams who came on last year.
Puka.
What was his name?
Puka Nacua.
Oi. Nacua. Oi.
Is he a player or is he a player?
Is he a player? I don't think he's Puka at the Puka level.
Not yet.
But no. I think he's very good and they're being cautious. And I am all in favor of caution.
Yeah, because he just pulled his hamstring. And if you throw him out there in the one-on-ones, he could do it again, Dad. Setback. And
you don't want to do that.
Setback central. And if he loses a spot, then Terrell Owens' kid going to take it from him. And then he's got a problem. Wally Pitt.
Right. And I would like to say, I do believe that the 49ers have a very good training staff and good doctors. And I think a lot of this is driven by them. And I respect them and what they're doing and their caution. So I want to make that clear.
Also, they lost their head trainer, Ben Peterson, this offseason. So whoever is in charge now has got to maybe has a new program and is figuring it out.
Yeah.
These guys have gotten hurt already. You got to make sure they don't exacerbate the problem. So
sure.
It's, I don't know when we'll get the real first impression of Ricky Pearsall, but it hasn't happened yet. It's been a slight delay.
So you know more about Owens than you know about Pearsall.
No question. Like, what I know about Owens right now is he's got legit speed. He can run by corners on the outside. He's a deep threat, and he's big and tough, and he'll go over the middle. I know that Ricky Pearsall ran a fast 40 at the combine, but is he going to run past a corner down the sideline, or is he going to win over the middle, running in-breaking routes and out-breaking routes, more like a slot receiver? I have no idea. We'll find out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the secondary, intercepting Brock Purdy a lot. Brock Purdy isn't the greatest practice quarterback, or maybe he is a great practice quarterback, but he has this tendency to throw interceptions when he's practicing. Also, the Niners have one hell of a secondary. Got to give him credit. Ball's in the vicinity. They're coming down with that ball, catching that ball. Treverius Ward, you got your Diamador Lenore. You got your Jair Brown. From what you've seen, Dad, what do you think? Is this one of the best secondaries in the league?
Okay. You got to remember, I haven't seen anything.
It's true.
I've been sitting up here.
That's a good point.
So what I want to say is what I know about their secondary, and I have to admit, I don't know all 32 secondaries. I'm not a geek. I would have to think that their secondary is elite and is probably one of the best in the league. Would you agree with that, Iggy?
I would agree with that.
Yes, and I would go further and say it's a strength of the team. There used to be a time when I didn't think it was, but right. I mean, I think their secondary is an absolute strength of the team. Compare it to the offensive line. The secondary is elite. The offensive line is like put together with Band-Aids. You know, it's patched together. So they know about elite groups. I wish they would do it with the offensive line. But this bunch in the secondary is like a pleasure to watch. And one of the things, because now I watch at home on TV, you don't get to see with this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Secondary lines up.
Mm-mm.
I used to see where Ronnie Lott was all the time, Carlton Williamson, and I could see them moving as the ball was just about to be snapped. It's a fascinating part of football, Iggy, and fans don't get to see it unless they're at the game.
That's right. So look, Treverius Ward, one of the best corners in the league. Diamador Lenore, one of the best players in camp. Jair Brown, second-year player, looks really good, intercepted Purdy today. Talanoa Funga, been an All-Pro, coming back. They just need that third cornerback. And they signed Isaac Yiadom. I don't know that it's him. He's a little bit, he's like 28, and he has had that one good year, and he struggled today. I think the rookie they drafted in round two, Renardo Green, he didn't practice today. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he tweaked something. But from everything I've seen, he looks like a real good competitor who could fit in this secondary and hold his own. So, yeah, I think they have one of the better, when healthy. They need Hufanga to come back and Green to be okay. But, yeah, they do have one of the best secondaries in the league.
Who would be the slot guy?
Green, the rookie. He's good. I like him.
Great. It's a pleasure to watch them play whenever I get a chance to see what they do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk Kyle Shanahan, even though he's not really in the spotlight right now. It's more the players, but I think it would be fun to take stock of all of his strengths and weaknesses. So we just have them on the table and people understand that we're fair and balanced, that we can actually identify every single strength and weakness he has. So why don't we go back and forth, Dad? Why don't you start? Sure. He does a really good job of building an opening script for a game. Game planning and putting together those first 15, 20, 25 plays.
You know, that's what I was going to say. It's okay. And I do think there's a downside to it, but we're going to come down to that, back to that later. I think his scripting is a pleasure to watch, and it's watching his mind work through the plays. I think he's one of the best in the league at that. Maybe the best. I don't know, but certainly one of the best. So, yeah, I would say that. I would say another strength, also tied to a weakness, and we'll get back to it. I think he's a player's coach. Mm. I think he likes his players. He likes certain players.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he likes all the players, but he likes certain players, and he gives his heart to them. And I think they know it and feel it, and they want to play for him. So I think that's a strength. Some coaches don't get close or can't get close. He can get close and still win.
Yeah, I like that. Also, he's done a really good job of sort of adopting his dad's offensive system and scheme and evolving it, making it still cutting edge. He's added a lot to it. And if teams are looking for the number one system, not the number one coach, but the number one offensive system in the league, it's his.
If you're looking for a system.
If you're looking for a system.
And that again.
He has developed like the cutting edge system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say another thing about him and that I really admire. He has good coaches all the time.
Yeah.
There are certain coaches who are afraid to have great coaches around them. You saw for years the Raiders had just crummy coaches. I can't speak for what they have now, but I don't think they're an elite coaching group. It seemed like Al didn't want to spend on good coaches, didn't care about good coaches. They had crummy assistants, crummy head coaches, all of that. Kyle is not threatened by talent. I would assume in coaches' meetings, I've never been in his coaches' meetings, he at least listens to other people. And it's a talent, and he's drawn really, really good people to him. By the way, including Steve Wilks, who I still believe is a very, very good coach.
And Kyle's extremely demanding from these coaches. Clearly.
He should be.
Yeah.
He should be.
And that's one of his strengths.
Yeah. I like that you brought that up. He should be demanding of them. These are the 49ers. And we should never lose track of that. These are the 49ers. They should have a hell of a coaching staff. And the head coach should really, really expect a lot from those guys.
Okay. I can add to that. So he's a coach. He's an offensive coordinator. He's also part-time GM. He's put together a lot of this roster, especially on offense. And he's pretty good at evaluating wide receivers. He drafted Debo. He drafted Ayuk. He drafted Jennings. I think there's optimism in Pearsall, even though he was considered a reach because Kyle drafted him. And Kyle played the position, and he's got a pretty good track record taking that particular spot. Receivers.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you think he's involved a lot in drafting defensive players?
Maybe if it's like a first or a second round pick, he might have an opinion if he's watched some clips, but probably not deep into the draft.
Right. Whereas Lynch would have better instincts there.
Perhaps. Yeah.
And they have all these scouts that know stuff.
Yeah, I agree. But when they took, you know, Solomon Thomas in round one or Javon Kinlaw in round one, I'm sure Kyle had a lot to say about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else for strengths?
Not for me.
How about protecting his job? Avoiding criticism. Sorry to be cynical, but he's great at that.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, that's my last one. Now let's go.
Wait. Let's talk about that a minute.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who's lost two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative around the team, and much of the media is like this too, is not that he lost two Super Bowls. It's that he got them to two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Really hard to get a team to the Super Bowl. And, you know, he did it. He got him to the Super Bowl. So there's been very little criticism of him where criticism could be involved. And I think part of it is what? Why has he, I can't say he's charmed the media, but he's got them on his side.
This is another one of his strengths. He's got a lot of connections throughout the league and in the media, and it stems back from his dad. A lot of people know his dad and feel partial to the Shanahans. Like they know the Shanahans. Like they see things from the Shanahans' perspective.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy with tremendous job security. We know that. Tremendous. And I think Jed York is the kind of guy who, when he gets someone with talent, holds on for dear life. And he's holding on.
He was going to hold on to Trent Baalke for dear life until he was told not to.
Apparently told not to.
Yeah.
He's a holder-runner.
He's a holder-runner. Okay, I think we did all the strength for Kyle. Now let's do Kyle Shanahan's weaknesses one by one.
Okay. Who goes first?
You can go first.
Okay. His strength, his first 25 scripted plays. When he gets past number 25, he's not as good. He's not as good reacting to the moment on the field as he is anticipating the moment quietly in his office on a computer or a legal pad. And I would add to that, I think he thinks more in terms of what's my next play as opposed to where do I stand in the game right now in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter? I'm behind. What do I do? I'm ahead. How do I close it out? That's a different way of thinking than writing 25 initial plays. And I think his strength leads to his weakness.
I agree. And I think what's interesting about the way he scripts plays in the first quarter, very aggressive. You expect him to be like establishing the run, and he's setting up haymakers. Like he's calling play action passes. He's trying to get that early lead, 14-0 right off the bat. And he's good at it. But when he's up in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden he's the most conservative coach. It's like, how are you going to win this game, Kyle? Like, what are you going to do? And he has no idea. All of a sudden it's like, I can't run the ball. I can't go for it on fourth down. I got to kick this field goal from the opponent's 37-yard. Like all of a sudden he seems to lose a little bit of nerve or a little bit of what makes him in those situations. Fourth quarter, big games, pressure on.
You know, it's funny what we're talking about. a few minutes ago said I'm cautious, and I am in certain ways, but the best things in my life came because I took a risk.
Yeah.
Risk is very important. I mean, I'm not going to go through it here, but the major steps of my life were because I took a risk. And I think the Super Bowl is a major step of your life, and there should be a certain amount of reasonable risk-taking. And he seems, at least at the end of that game, risk-averse. In fact, he seemed frightened.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. And it wasn't just that Super Bowl. It was also the NFC Championship game against the Rams a few years ago when he was up 10 in the fourth quarter to start that one. And all of a sudden, he was punting from Rams territory and just begging the Rams to come back and win, which they did. Okay.
Hey, Iggy. Yeah. Didn't Juszczyk say something today or yesterday about they should be praised for getting to the Super Bowl? What did he say?
He says he hates the narrative that the Niners can't win big games because people don't, if you really know ball, you understand that they had to win a lot of big games to get to the Super Bowl. He really said that. He went to Harvard.
So we're supposed to praise them for losing two Super Bowls?
No, you can't say that they can't win big games because they've technically won some.
But they can't win the biggest game.
That's right. There's a distinction.
Yes, there's a distinction between big games and that game. And again, if Kyle wins the Super Bowl, let's say this season, I will be the first to say I was wrong or he's grown. Mazel tov, congratulations, all of that. But Iggy, I don't think he's winning the Super Bowl this season. No. I don't. Okay.
And you know why?
Why?
It's not because the roster isn't good enough. It's because he's not good enough to finish.
He's not a closer.
I got more weaknesses for the guy. His biggest weakness, his ego. It's way too big. It's double the size of Andy Reid's.
How does his ego manifest itself?
He's a control freak. It's his way or the highway. He doesn't necessarily cater to what his players do well. It's all about his system and what works for his system. He doesn't invest in the offensive line because he doesn't need to because he's so smart that he can work around it. That stuff.
Okay. I don't know that stuff, but I do know people. So let me ask you this. How does his ego figure in when people ask a question that might question something he's done?
Right. He can't actually take criticism on himself. He can't. He's constantly being defensive and deflecting where he could say, no, that was absolutely my fault. Don't blame this person. This is what I did wrong.
So in other words, he puts himself above criticism.
He does. And as a result, he doesn't grow.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He hasn't ever grown, Iggy. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. And that's all a function of his ego.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, earlier I said he's a player's coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. But the people who are not in his clique,
yep.
How do they feel? I mean, I'm not there. I would ask. I mean, if off the record, I would say, you're not in the clique. How do you feel? I'd like to know. They'll probably never answer. So I think
Jimmy Ward might say one day. He wasn't in the clique.
Ayuk might say one day.
Exactly. Ayuk's not in the clique. And that's the thing with Kyle. Like, he's a player's coach, but what kind of a coach plays favorites?
Yeah.
You know, so like there's serious roster politics with the 49ers. Sometimes it's like, why is this guy starting? Is he starting because he's the best player or is because Kyle likes him the most?
Yeah. Inky, I would even be very specific here. Why is Juszczyk on the team?
One of the things I like most about JT O'Sullivan is how he kind of roasts Kyle for this. Like, oh, here goes the coach's best friend going in motion, doing some cute stuff that doesn't help and he's not getting the ball. But hey, at least he's on the field because he's coach's friend.
Is that what he says?
All the time.
You know, Iggy, I love JT O'Sullivan. I love that he says that stuff.
Me too.
I mean, Juszczyk may be a very nice man, and he took a salary cut because he knew that he was expendable. But Why is he taking up a roster spot? It almost seems like because he's the coach's friend.
Yeah.
Do you think Bill Walsh would have kept him around? He would have been in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Bill Walsh wouldn't keep him. Bill Walsh, when it came to things like this, was the most ruthless man I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
He would never get close to players.
No.
And as a result, he had no trouble getting rid of them. After they retired, then he could become friends. And I used to see him with former players, and they meant a lot to him, but it never got in the way of business. And with Kyle, it seems to be getting in the way of business. I mean, I don't know. Juszczyk may do things I don't understand, but I think you could get a tight end to do it. And now they have another fullback, you say? Why is this guy there? One of the reasons he's there is because he's good for quotes. Who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're sitting in the press box, say, who am I going to ask about this? Oh, the guy never does anything, but he's from Harvard and he's verbal. That's what he does? Maybe they should add him to the public relations staff.
To me, it's like a musician calling attention to himself. Like, look at this fullback that only I use. No one else uses a fullback in the NFL, but I have a fullback. And there's all these, he's so crucial to what I do. So I'm going to put him in motion and look at the fullback. Like, dude, he's not doing anything. That's just window dressing. Juwan Jennings is a better player than Kyle Juszczyk. Why is Jennings not on the field?
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Juszczyk is like a decoy. He's just like three card Monty where they hold the card up to your face to distract you from what's really going on. That's Juszczyk.
Yeah. They're deacon you.
I got more weaknesses for Kyle. We're not done with you, Kyle.
Okay. You go.
How about evaluating quarterbacks in the draft?
Talk to me.
I mean, he didn't want Patrick Mahomes. He really wanted Trey Lance. Just right there. Looked at Patrick Mahomes, was like, no. And then was like, hold on, we need to trade everything for Trey Lance. Also really traded up for C.J. Beathard.
That doesn't look, it's not a good look.
No. And we all know he lucked into Brock Purdy. Brian Greasy, Steve Slowick, God love you. You saved Kyle's butt with that one.
He didn't even know what he had. He was treating him like Tanner Mordecai.
Yeah. He said he knew what he had, but he didn't.
No, he will gaslight you about certain things. Like, he also knew the rules going into the Super Bowl overtime.
It's hard for me to fathom that such a genius of an offensive coach could be that bad at evaluating the most important position. But that's just me. Okay, more. Evaluating the running back position in the draft. I mean, Joe Williams, Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Isaac Garendo every freaking year, another pick wasted at the running back spot. Which is why they just went and traded for McCaffrey.
And yet they do have good running backs.
Yes. Which is like, why do you keep drafting this position in round three? Why do you do it every year? It never works. Stop.
Right. Do something else.
It's like a tradition. You have to throw away one pick on a running back who won't make the team. Good job, Kyle.
Iggy, I have another area which I would be critical of. His image.
Mm.
And here's what I want to say. I started as a young pup with Bill Walsh. Mm-hmm. And then after that with George Seifert. And then after that with Steve Mariucci. So here's what I want to say. Three good-looking men. Three men who dressed nicely. Three men who were the CEO of the team and acted like the CEO of the team, looked you in the eye, didn't wear a hat indoors. And I would, as much as I like Jim Harbaugh, I would criticize him for this too. But I'd say Kyle is even worse. Kyle, sometimes he wears a hat. He hasn't shaved. He looks like he crawled out of the hamper.
And he looks like he's 24.
What's that?
He looks like he's 24.
Yeah. And this is the CEO of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
And he sits there and he says, a lot. Mm-hmm. He should work on that. Yeah. He should work on his presentation. Yeah. These are the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. I mean, I'll go to another team. Bruce Bochy. The Giants could be proud of him. He walked erect. His diction was smart. His diction was good. When he talked to you, he looked you in the eye. If you asked him a hard question, he was grateful. He because he was proud of himself and he wanted to answer. I once asked him privately about some pitcher. I said, he looks like his arm is hurt. He said, Lowell, this was late in the season. He said, Lowell, this time of year, every one of my pitchers' arms hurt. That's baseball. He didn't get pissed at me. He didn't say, get out of my office. He explained it to me. He represented and he won three World Series and then a fourth in Texas. He was someone who really represented the Giants exactly how you wanted that. And
Steve Kerr with the Warriors.
Oh my God. He's another one. He's always well groomed. He's always well spoken. He's always shaved. He's always active. You know, he's sitting and he's talking. Kyle is like this. He's sitting back in his chair. You feel he's going to tip over. Yeah. And I think this is the representative of San Francisco 49ers. Take a shower. Put on some nice clothes. Take the freaking hat off. Have a nice haircut. Improve your diction. That's how I feel. Vince Lombardi wouldn't come off like that.
Brock Purdy presents better than Kyle.
Absolutely. No question about it. Trent Williams presents better than Kyle. And so
Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryan's always presented better than Kyle.
So did Steve Wilkes.
Correct.
Absolutely. Thoughtful, dignified, never got angry at a question, never got defensive. You're the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Grow up, improve your image, because your image is the 49ers image. You're the one who is the spokesperson. Anyway, Iggy, when I watch him, I think, why hasn't Jed talked to him about it? There are ways to talk about it.
Yeah, because the CEO of the Niners is an adolescent at heart.
I don't know him. Is he?
I mean, that's what he presents. His presentation is adolescent.
It is. It's like a 17-year-old with the hat.
Yeah, like, isn't it cool? I'm running a team and I don't play by the rules because I'm kind of young. Like, you're not that young. You're 45. You're almost 50. You could do a little better. You're extremely rich. You could, you know, get someone to shave for you.
Iggy, people who are 45 years old have gone in the army and fought in combat, and some have given up their lives. When they get out of the army, they have dignity, and they walk with great posture, and they are really attentive to their looks because they know that they represent the Army or the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force. He represents the goddamn 49ers, and he should live up to it.
In that movie, the Social Network, that's about Mark Zuckerberg, starting Facebook. There's a moment where it's really getting big, and he makes a business card, and it says, "I'm the CEO, comma bitch." And it's like kind of shows just how immature he was at this point, how young he was. That's so Kyle. I'm the head coach, bitch. Like, that's his whole attitude. Like, yeah, I don't really have to shave or talk that. What doesn't matter? Like, I'm just a prodigy. It's like, nah, man, you're 45. You're supposed to be well-rounded now.
Yeah, and you're too old to be a prodygy. You don't get that anymore.
No, prodigies, you're not 29 anymore, man. A lot of time has passed. Yes.
Yeah. No more prodigy.
Yeah. Okay, those are his weaknesses.
I felt I just got my
one more weakness.
Out. Okay.
He really doesn't trust young players or play them unless he absolutely has to. He's always going to go with the older player over a younger player because the older player knows the system better. And that's a crummy way to develop players. And I don't think Bill Walsh was that way.
I don't know. Actually, that doesn't bother me. Again, I say I'm cautious. Let's say maybe we disagree on that, okay?
Okay.
I'm okay that if you want to play, you really, really have to earn it, and you have to get over this boundary that the coach puts up. I don't have a problem with that.
Can I have an example, though? It's like he said Brock Purdy was the best quarterback on the team, and he knew it his rookie year. He didn't play him until he absolutely had to.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm talking about with him.
Here's what I'm saying, because he didn't know it. He said he knew it, but that's gaslighting.
Yeah, it's
true. He didn't know it. He only used him, Iggy, because his back was against the wall. And then he acted like, oh, I knew this.
Which is so admirable when someone does that. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take some super chats, and then we got to talk about some Substacks. My real name says, hello, Papa Cone. Can you tell us anything about Joe Montana or Steve Young in practice? Were they dominant?
Yes, they were great. They were serious, and they were great.
Yes. Lil Will says, lol, I'm loving your Substack.
Oh, thank you. I just put one up. I got to tell you, Iggy and I were going to do this, but I don't know how to actually post it. So he came by and posted it for me. And I just put one up about the most profane, dirtiest news conference I was ever in. There is so much cursing in it that if you don't like that kind of stuff, you probably shouldn't read it.
But it's really just very much of it is like a transcription of a press conference that happened 40 years ago it would never, ever, ever happen again. But this was a typical Frank Robinson press conference.
Right. And Iggy, it's legendary in the media here, not the young people, but in the older guys, it's legendary.
Frank Robinson grew up where?
Oakland. He went to McClyman's High School.
That's right. Just want to say that. Kev F, off topic.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Andy Dolich's work? Never heard of him before, but his book is fantastic and a tragedy playing out next month.
I haven't read Andy's book. I know Andy very well. Andy used to be an executive with the Oakland A's. He also was an executive with the 49ers. A couple of years ago, I got inducted into the Northern California Jewish Sports Hall of Fame. And Andy is the one who was the master of ceremonies for that. I know Andy very well and like him very much. And I'm glad to hear that his book is good.
Yeah. Yeah. The Young Montana has been a member for 35 months. Thank you very much. SF Bay Drummer says, Jed York is Billy Madison owning a football team. I like the movie Billy Madison. That's an underrated movie. Drop the Shanahan diss track already.
Is Billy Madison, is that with the golf?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a funny movie.
Yeah.
No,
that's Happy Gilmore is the one with the golf. Billy Madison's the one where he goes back and does school all over again, K-12.
Got it. Yeah. Someone just said drop the Shanahan diss.
Yeah.
Hold on. Who said it?
Who said it? M.
M. We're not fans. You want to be a fan? Go to David Lombardi.
Yeah.
Go to him. We're not fans. We are critics. And first of all, if you paid any attention, M, we spent a lot of time praising Shanahan. We were completely balanced. You're allowed to criticize somebody. If it hurts your feelings, don't ever watch us again.
That's right, M. Jesus, Jesus says, at Papa, Grant Kyle says they should... Kyle says they should have gone to the Super Bowl in the year Purdy got hurt, but I say Niners should have lost versus Lions and Packers.
All I want to say is he said they should have gone to the Super Bowl the year he got hurt. How does he know? They didn't go to – all I know is they didn't go to the Super Bowl. Is he God? Does he have more insight that Iggy has than I have? All I know is there was a Super Bowl and they weren't in it.
Yeah.
Saying they should have gone – is what they say in baseball is horseshit.
Yeah.
That's their term, horseshit.
And it's like in any other sport, a coach who says we should have won the championship this year, but we didn't, he would understand that he's incriminating himself. You're saying it's your fault. But Kyle doesn't get it and people don't get it, which is amazing to me. One more thing about Kyle's weaknesses before we move on and we end the show. We were talking about presentation. I think that is such an important thing because it was an issue with Harbaugh, but not like with Kyle. Like Harbaugh, he wore the same clothes every day. He wouldn't wear a suit to the Super Bowl, but his presentation was business. Like Kyle, not just at the press conferences. It's like, you guys, I'm not going to get into it, but everyone remembers the week of the Super Bowl. His presentation at media night the first night was a little strange. And those are things that he needs to answer for and work on.
Okay. Right. And You never had that with Jim.
It's like, what? You don't have that with Andy Reid.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, this was spirited.
What a show. Hold on. Jaleel D says, let's go, Papa Cone. Clap back. LOL. That was good. That was a good clap back. M deserved it.
What I did was a clap back. It's called a clap back.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaleel. Hold on. Darren Dangler says, cheers, number 6 this year. No doubt. No doubt.
Wow. And you know that.
He knows it. You put $10 on it.
You bet the mortgage on it?
$10, which is the mortgage.
Okay.
Thank you, Darren. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We got 1,700 people watching right now. Thank you. Make sure you like and subscribe the show. And have a good night. Dad, I love you.
I love you, Iggy. I'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later. See you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.